The Nationwide Football League, Division 1, Bristol City 2, Portsmouth 2. Crewe Alexandra and West Bromwich Albion's a postponed match. Pools panel say home win. Oxford United 1, Tranmere Rovers 2. Sunderland against Crystal Palace, that's a postponed one, that's another home win. Swindon Town and Huddersfield Town is a void match played last night. Watford 1, Birmingham City 1.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Dalton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Greetings.
Well, it's been an international break,
it still is.
It's still going on. It's going on right in front of our eyes right now. Yes, We have got the delight, the rare delight of Italy playing Sweden.
Which should be a great fixture.
It should be, shouldn't it, really?
It should be,
yeah. Yeah, this is the second leg, and we're just about an hour in, about when the only goal in the tie was scored in the first leg. And there have been another five playoff games since then in which no goals have been scored. We've had 9 hours of football. 9 hours of football in these playoffs without a single goal being scored.
I don't know what the fuss is about. You should try watching Sunderland.
But you love 0-0 draws,
You can go months. Well, they can be good, yeah.
Yeah, they can be good. You love a nice tense 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
And to be fair, actually, there should have been quite a few penalties being scored in this game, shouldn't
there? Yeah, absolutely, yes. It's not for the want of trying, yeah. It's almost as though Frank de Boer has taken over as UEFA technical director or something.
A little bit sore there, are you?
Yeah, it's still a bit tender.
Still a bit tender, yeah.
But if I keep prodding it, it'll get better, apparently.
Yeah. Keep scratching at that scab. That's the best way it'll heal, won't it?
Maybe pass the salt, will you?
You've got a great weekend lined up, haven't you, Jan?
Well, I hope so.
Because after this international goalless guff is out of the way, then you're off to Germany this weekend.
I'm going to Berlin from Thursday to Sunday. And instead of having a nice romantic night with my wife on Saturday night, the last night in Germany, I'm going to the Olympic Stadium with my friend Tom to watch Hertha Berlin against Mönchengladbach, which I think is a far better way of spending the evening.
That's the early evening game, isn't it? That should be a great match, shouldn't it?
Mm. Well, it should be a match.
It should be a match.
It should be a game of football.
It should be, yeah. I'm fully expecting a game of football.
It will be a game of football.
I haven't been to Berlin. I've been to see football in quite a lot of places in Germany, but usually around Dortmund, not too far from there. You've been to the Olympic Stadium.
I have, yes. You know,
what's that like for it as a place? Because it's got a running track, isn't it?
So, it's got a running track,
so,
yeah.
For some people, they would think, ooh, that doesn't really lend itself to football watching.
Well, the pitch is some way away,
yeah,
as is the case with running tracks. I think that there's nothing wrong with a running track. In fact, I quite like a running track in some respects. Mm. I know there's something to be said about the whole English style being close to the pitch.
Yeah.
But the Olympic Stadium is very big, 80,000 capacity, and I've been there to watch a couple of cup finals. And so the atmosphere has been very, very strong, very intense, full house, and obviously a big cup final, so very, very important. I've seen 3 cup finals, actually, there, now that I think of it. Lucky me. It's different at Hertha games. They don't sell out, usually. They can do. Mm. Depends who's coming.
Big ask.
Because it is a lot of people to sell tickets to. They have the sort of like, I think it's the north curve, or perhaps the south one, which is where the ultras are. And they make a lot of noise. And then everywhere else is, not so much. But I went to see Hertha play Bayer Leverkusen on the final game of the season, last season. And the atmosphere wasn't helped by the fact that the home side lost, I think it was 5-1.
Ooh.
I did get to see Julian Brandt and Kai Havertz in full flow for Leverkusen, though. So that was the upside of it. And being a neutral, I was like, But I was sat next to a friend of the pub, Matt Herman, who is a Hertha fan. And he was sanguine, but not best pleased.
Yeah. I suppose it's an interesting way of seeing a football game if you've gone to see a cup final there, because obviously you're going to have 50-50 split of the fans near enough.
Yeah.
usually anyway.
Yeah, 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 no, it is, yeah.
And so you're going to get quite a good atmosphere is going to be built up just because of that, isn't it? Mm. Whether or not you get that when you go and see a team playing at home, they must have impressed upon you how much different the atmosphere was. Obviously, as well, yes. Because it's not selling out. As well.
It was noticeable. Yes, it wasn't selling out. Yeah,
the cup was down,
which didn't help. Yeah, I mean, it's happened during the afternoon as well, rather than the evening. The cup games are usually at 8:30 in the evening, so everyone's had lots and lots of lovely beer. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's a very, very different, very, very different thing. The two different atmospheres, but it is a beautiful stadium. They've taken the facade of the original Olympic Stadium and then they've deposited this modern stadium within it. Do take a moment after the game, if you can. It will be horrifically cold, so you may not want to do this, but because Berlin is stupidly cold in the winter. But, I mean, grab yourself a beer if you can and just come out of, you know, once you've come out of the stand, go out onto the many balconies that surround the stadium and just lean over, take a moment to just take it in, because it is quite lovely. It's better when the sun's going down, which it won't be, but it's still, nevertheless, it's a very, very lovely experience, the Berlin Olympic Stadium, and I'm certain you'll enjoy it for its aesthetic quality as well.
Oh, so does it still have a lot of its 1930s charm then?
Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah. No, absolutely. Because I mean, its facade essentially is. I mean, they preserved the facade of the stadium and they just hollowed it out and put a modern stadium therein. So, from the outside, it looks like the original stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, in many, many ways. Although I didn't go to the original stadium at the time, obviously, because you know, it was
alive.
1930s. But yeah, big site, big complex. And it's not in the middle of the city or anything like that. It's a bit of a journey out, but nothing too strenuous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really, 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 really very nice place.
But it is in the old west half of the city, isn't it?
It is, yes, because it's where Hertha Berlin played. Not all the time, but for a significant portion of their history, they spent it playing in Olympic Stadium. And Hertha was a West Berlin club, not an East Berlin club.
You can catch up yourself on the game as it is in progress, because it's going to be part of the box set this week, so because it's going to be live on BT Sport. So if you're going to watch it, people, then we can have our own Where's Wally competition, couldn't we, really?
Yeah.
I think we should get you a red and white stripy jumper so the punters at home can play along.
I'm afraid I'm going to go to the Silver Nose shop and I'm going to deck myself out in a full kit.
Yes.
I'm not sure how you say full kit wanker in German, but I'm sure I'll find out before the night's out.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who'll tell you. Also, Union Berlin play in red and white, so
not for the best. But obviously, you're looking forward to this, because it's going to be your first foreign football experience.
Yes, it is, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Only ever watch football on this little island, so it'd be good to get out and see what it's like doing it in Germany.
I can't wait for you to come back and tell us all about it, actually, because we love going to watch football in other countries, but I'm not sure anymore whether or not it's because the experience is genuinely different, or whether or not I'm on holiday, or I'm away for the weekend, usually with a bunch of mates, usually getting quite drunk as well.
Yeah.
So, Terry, you've gone with a group of guys who like football.
Mm.
You've also gone with people who are actually paid to like football as well.
That's true. I've done that also. Yeah, it's much the same.
Yeah.
It's much the same. Probably the weirdest one I did was actually the first trip to the Olympic Stadium we did there. We recorded a podcast during the game. That was a peculiar one. And John Hartley recorded an episode of the Bundesliga show, actually, or a portion of it during the actual match itself.
Right.
It's much the same. You turn up, you have beer, you engage in, comradely exchanges of good humour, and then you go in and you watch football. And, I mean, that is the essence of manhood.
I think there is always something about going to a football game, especially in a country where you can stand.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long over here
mm.
to go to any decent-sized game. where you can stand or see other people standing.
Mm.
I've never stood at a German game. I stood when I went to see the Derby de Lanterna, but that was because the area that my seat was in had been closed off. So I ended up standing for the whole game. Yeah, that was an odd experience, that game.
You stood at Aachen?
I stood at Aachen, yeah. Well, that was obviously a second division match.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. It did remind me a hell of a lot of standing at Homesdale End, actually.
Yes,
it was very, very reminiscent of Selhurst Park.
Reminiscent of Selhurst Park, just a slightly smaller, scaled-down version of Selhurst Park. Believe it or not, that is possible to have that, yeah. Yes, I've never stood apart from Aachen, and, you know, I've been to see what is essentially German non-league games as well, where we've stood, but that's not what we're talking about. I've never stood on the Zudrupim, sadly. I hope to be able to do that one day. Partly because it's very difficult to buy tickets for standing. You have to sort of know someone who can help you out. Yeah, it's difficult to get standing tickets at the big grounds because they are sold to season ticket holders and members and held on to. So
now, call me an old fart, but would you really like to go to the Sud Tribune?
That reminds me of something that Archie Rintat said to me. I think the first time he ever went in the Sud Tribune was, and Archie Rintat is a journalist and has the journalistic instinct, I think. He probably felt, this is more of a colour piece for that rather than a match review because I can't see the game. Because the flags and the thing and blah, 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 blah. And this is a problem you get at Dortmund anyway, is that the first time you go, the tendency is for you to just become incredibly distracted by the yellow wall because you are somewhat in awe. Did you remember the time we took Derek?
Yeah, yes.
Our colleague at Whom Pods Destroy, we took Derek there. And I've never seen a grown man's jaw actually physically, literally drop. He was aghast when he first gazed upon it. I think it can be a bit of a cliche, the whole yellow wall thing, but it is a genuinely spectacular sight to behold. And it won't go there enough times, and of course you get used to it, and you end up watching the game. Last time I went, it was a game against Hoffenheim. It was a really big game. There's mate Phil, and he's going, look at that. He's not watching the game. He's watching the crowds. Going, look. And
how many people does that hold?
20,000 at the Zudrupim and 80,000 capacity.
So that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's on UEFA Champions League and Europa League nights and internationals, they put the seats in. So it's reduced down to about 60,000.
Your football experience now, obviously, is coming down the leaf with us.
Yeah.
But when you don't do that, the occasional times you do go to matches now, one of the most recent times you've been, is taking your son along to football.
Well, yeah.
Introducing him to actually going to turning up to a game and watching it rather than playing it on an Xbox or...
Yeah, which is how he normally says it. I took him to... I mean, he was really fortunate with this being his first game, but it was when Sunderland beat Palace 4-0 at Selhurst Park. And, I mean, and all of those goals came in the first half, so that was incredible. It was an incredible result, but, it being his first game, and it was an away game as well.
Yeah.
My first game was at Roker Park in the old... Roker End, that was past its best even then. This was like 1985, 86. It was bad then. But it's in your home city. It's easy to get to. It's easy to get home. Whereas, I was there with people that, spent all day drinking on a train coming down. So that was a bit of experience for my son as well.
Well, when you go to a football match, there is a sort of semblance of autopilot you go into because it's familiar.
Hmm.
You may be going to a new ground or maybe in a different country even, but you know how it works. You know which end is the home end, you know where your tickets, you're looking out for your turnstiles and everything like that.
Yeah.
And in modern times, you've got to go through some kind of security detail as well. But obviously when you're going there, when you're taking your son along, all of a sudden you've got a whole different level of things that are actually making you more aware about what's going on around you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because he's 10 now, he's 9 at the time. He comes down the leaf with us and, he hangs around the bar with us.
He does. So he hears lots of colourful language from a colleague here.
He does,
for which I frequently find myself apologising.
But when you're in amongst 3,000 or 4,000 people, almost kind of acting, almost as one, that can be quite an intimidating thing. I think I could have been very, very different if the scoreline had been reversed, and we'd received such a hiding. away from home.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a very, not necessarily, I mean, the football would have been different, obviously, but certainly the atmosphere, you know, we're talking about watching the game and watching that at that age in an atmosphere that can turn very nasty very, very quickly. I think that would have been, I mean, I'm glad it didn't, obviously, just purely for his experience. But yeah, it could have been a different thing, could have put him off it.
Modern stadiums are a lot more sanitised nowadays, aren't they? I mean, like when Jan was saying about going to Roker Park in the 80s, I can see, remember how precipitous that stand is at the end, and think about how you must have thought that was going to collapse or something every time you got on there.
Yeah, well, I was at the opposite end of that. That's the forward end you're talking about, which was a very steep kind of cop-like look, and the Roker end used to be as big as that, but it was half the size by the time I went along. But yeah, horrible old Victorian. I mean, some people have got kind of reminisce about that ground, and people do reminisce about those old grounds, don't they? But you know, they were horrible. Even when I went there, I thought, you know, this experience is fantastic, but this place is horrible. It was you know, I've been to some stinkers as well. Ayrton Park was as bad as Sunderland as well.
You've been to Germany a lot. Have you ever felt uneasy, or do you think, or have you ever felt that an atmosphere has been overly intimidating at any stage?
No,
because they do make a hell of a lot of noise, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the closest that I got to that was actually, funnily enough, my first ever trip, which was with you and with Martin and Rich, and that was in 2004, which was the weekend that kind of sent me on a different path, because I mean, that was, I came back to a degree a changed man. The experience of German football at that time for me was profound, and I started looking at it and writing about it and slowly getting more and more into it.
Yeah.
And that sort of set me off in this path. The experience at Dortmund was amazing. We then went to Gelsenkirchen the following day, and where the experience was nothing like as fun. And I'm obviously, I'm saying this as a Dortmund fan, so I guess I'm probably being a bit biased about Schalke. But in fairness, I was completely open-minded, obviously, because, I mean, I didn't know anything about German football. I mean, I knew that Dortmund had won the Champions League in 97, and that was pretty much it. You know, I didn't know anything else, so I wasn't in the position to be biased, beyond the fact that I had the most atrocious hangover and was in just such a filthy mood, which may not have helped. But we were sat right in front of, we were in the home section, but we were sat in front of the Hertha Terrace. And they had this petition, this kind of transparent Perspex petition. The home side won 4-0. And by that point, the Hertha fans were really bad-tempered and they were banging against the Perspex.
Reduced to 10 men as well, weren't they?
Yeah, and they were really, really unhappy. And in fairness, the atmosphere in the stadium just wasn't very, you know, they were all miserable.
Yeah,
and I don't think
Gelsenkirchen looked a lot more. It was a bit more of a depressing place than
Gelsenkirchen is not Dortmund. Yeah, no, it didn't. I mean, when this is over, 15 years ago now. Yeah. But it's changed considerably in that time. But I mean, at the time, yes, it seemed quite down at heel, and it just seemed a little bit unhappy. And the stadium, I think, was unhappy. And I just wonder. I just got this impression that they were felt that perhaps they were underachieving. It's an amazing stadium.
Yeah.
Right on the top of a hill, it looks even more so than Newcastle. Newcastle's got this thing where St James' Park is raised above the city, almost like some kind of
like
temple.
Yeah.
Even more so with Schalke, it's right on the top of this hill. You spiral up to get to it. It's a real pilgrimage to go there, and it's this. It was a pretty much a brand new stadium in 2004. It's built for the World Cup. And I mean, it was just an amazing structure. It just seemed a bit humourless, a bit lacking in fun by comparison to the Dortmund experience.
But
that is the closest. But I don't believe I felt intimidated. Probably because my head was hurting so much. I didn't care. I was trying to force down some beer to try and reawaken, you know, my brain cells and just get myself back in the game. I was really struggling. So I have to take all of that into account when recounting that story, because I don't wish to be unnecessarily unfair to Schalke. There's plenty of opportunity to be unfair to them. You know.
the Perspex thing you were talking about, is that part of like a crowd-controlled perimeter?
Yeah, basically. So
it just partitioned off
it was like a crowd.
It was like a spur, really, sort of like going into the state, and it was just this this perspex thing. So like a fence, fences is probably things.
That's what I was driving.
They have fences in Germany, and that was freaky. Being in a football stadium for the first time in years with a fence on there, and just thinking, like, you haven't had a Hillsborough over here, have you? Yeah. Because otherwise, that fence would be down. And I mean, I can only assume that's the reason why they haven't done it. I assume that obviously they're well stewarded and well policed events anyway. It's not in that respect an issue. But that for me, that was probably the most, that and the fact that they were chucking toilet rolls and it all seemed terribly 70s.
Yeah.
It was weird. The atmosphere was like watching a football match in the 1970s, but in ultra modern stadiums.
Yeah.
That changed, I think. I don't think it's quite as it was now. I mean, and fair enough. I mean, time passes and things change. I mean, it was 2004 when there's always it was 13 years now.
Since I last
went there, and the culture has changed somewhat. Mm. There's no getting around it. But it blew me away. I have to say that first Dortmund experience. It was quite profound. The effect that it had on me. But no, never been truly intimidated in Germany.
Hmm. I mentioned that Derby de Lanterna, obviously a local derby, is going to have quite a charged atmosphere there.
Yeah.
But I think I've mentioned on the podcast before about how it did seem rather intimidating there. But that's because there were people who, like me, had tickets for areas that we were locked out of.
Right.
And the Luigi Ferraris Stadium is made of steel, basically. It's just steel walls. With red oxide steel walls, and everyone was just slapping these walls and gates basically just to sort of make as much noise as you could, and the sound was echoing up the staircases there, and it was like really quite disorienting. And
wow,
and yeah, it was. But we ended up watching. I was there with my wife as well, and because all of a sudden I'm thinking, I'm all right here. I know I can read the situation, and I know there is no trouble here.
Mm.
There's just people wanting to see a football game. But it is amazing how you can get into that whole sort of thing, especially when you're in a foreign crowd as well, when you don't know what people are saying around you. So you can't pick up on cues that you would normally perhaps pick up on. And the home team lost as well, which didn't help matters.
Yeah.
We made a tactical withdrawal about 10 minutes before the end because I thought, well, we've had a lovely day.
Yeah.
We've had to stand for the whole game in this crowded stairwell. It was actually quite nice. It was actually sort of like we were almost watching from like a balcony. I don't know if you remember.
I know the stadium.
It's got the filled in corners. So we were standing in one of those sort of filled in corner window seats.
But it's handy for the exit though, I suppose, isn't it?
It was very handy.
And why? I mean, if you're a visitor, then why intrude on private grief, eh?
Make
a discreet exit and say,
but there was a tremendous noise afterwards, actually, because when you're going up to watch an Italian game, everyone's got their Lambrettas parked up on the side because everyone rides there on their Lambrettas. And then they all suddenly get on there and their air is just filled with the sound of 10,000 Lambrettas driving around. It is incredible. And it's like they were overtaking us as we were walking back to our hotel. But that was one of the more bizarre incidents.
Yeah.
I went to the San Siro, the place that we're watching right now. That's just a little bit outside of Milan. But it was another one of these occasions where you go to a match and then you're suddenly really, really impressed by the transport infrastructure that gets everyone there and out again.
Mm.
Because you come out and you've got San Siro, obviously famously got those big circular stairways that are like pillars on each corner of it. We were at the top of one of those and we could see all the trams waiting for us there. And it was as if we didn't rush out, we didn't leave early. Milan won, I think 3-0. They beat Sampdoria. We just walked straight onto a tram. Didn't get packed. Didn't get crowded. And it was one of those lovely old wooden ones that they have in Milan. And we just got it straight back into the middle of town in no time. It was really? Like 10 minutes later. We were in a bar in
Milan. Superb.
So yeah,
very nice.
Yeah. We with John to see Cologne play Dortmund in Cologne. And I had to exploit my wife's contacts in the industry in order to obtain some tickets because it was that difficult. It's very difficult to get tickets for Cologne Dortmund. And she had to come with me, though, even though she wasn't going to the game.
Okay.
She had to come to the stadium with me and John. So she patiently sits there while John and I are sort of sitting there swigging the Reisdorf on the tram up. John and I, along we go, la 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 la. get the tickets, no problem, off we go, kiss her, go, right, if I put up, walk her back to the tram stop, put her on the tram stop, politely ask the guards there, is this the tram going back into the city? Yes, yes, this is the tram, boom, boom, boom. On she gets, all on her own, because everyone's coming in, no one's leaving.
Yeah.
Anyway, me and John, off we go, up towards the stadium, we meet up with some of John's friends and get a phone call from the missus, I am in a depot on my own.
I know.
So I was sort of started to shuffle back to there to see if I could halloo a guard and say, you know, you've put my wife on this tram. And then fortunately, she called back afterwards and said, fortunately, somebody spotted me. This depot was empty.
Oh, my word.
And she just saw someone off in the distance, a member of the train, the tram staff, and banged on the window and go.
She was locked in the train.
She was locked in the train. Yeah. So fortunately, they this guy found her and got her out and helped her back and put her on a tram and got her back. But that's German efficiency for you.
Yeah, too efficient.
Yeah, well, Germany is quite a bit like the 70s. It has a tendency to leave you to it. And if you go on the wrong tram, they won't check these things. The 403 up to Wallingham, they'll stop at the end there and make certain that no tow rag's still loitering around. You know, they don't do that sort of thing in Deutschland. No.
They expect you to do that yourself.
Yeah. We expect you to get off your own bus. Yeah. You know, and of course there was the great Cologne to Dortmund in one day.
Oh,
Cologne
yes.
v Bielefeld for the lunchtime kickoff, and then Dortmund v Wolfsburg for the evening kickoff.
Always a bit special when you get to see two matches in one day.
It's always, particularly two league games.
Awesome. Yeah, it was. Mind you, I think we did it well when we did
the Cup and League one.
The Cup and the League one, because we went to see Leaf.
Croydon.
Play at Croydon.
And Jan's airbrushed it out of his memory because...
Because obviously that wasn't such a good day for Sunderland at Palace.
It was a great afternoon.
It was a great afternoon.
That was one of the best games of football I've attended, like a live game. It was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, we were on that run, weren't we, at the time? Was that Whiteleaf?
Yeah,
on the run at the time, and then we watched. I think we've said this many times before because it was so brilliant.
Yeah.
But we spent the second half on the balcony in the pub, didn't we?
Yes.
And it had a running track for Terry. Cha-ching.
We didn't bother going back in the stadium because there was this balcony
over the running track.
And you could just go to the bar.
And then when we realised that at Croydon you don't order draft, you order bottles because the draft is just so dreadful that it took ages to pour it out. And then, we were just there. Just
in a glorious late August afternoon.
The sun was baking down.
Yeah. It was a lovely
and then we traipsed back. And it's only, 15 minutes walk from Croydon Arena to Selhurst Park. It's not far.
Not far at all.
And then we went with our tickets. Mm.
Actually, in that game, that was the first time I experienced the kind of ultra thing that they've got going on in the Holmesdale end. I wasn't in the Holmesdale end,
fanatics.
I was in the away. So it might have been coloured slightly by the amount of alcohol I'd had during the day and the sun beating down on my blue bonds. I found that I don't think I've been in a crowd where it had been that kind of European in its style with the drum
and the rhythmic chanting.
Oh yeah, it's definitely.
I already found that
difficult. It's nothing compared to Germany.
No, I know. I'm sure it's
but it's a good stab.
I think when I was in the away end and we lost that game quite comfortably in the end.
Mm.
And Canio was in charge then, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in charge then. John O'Shea got sent off in that game. Yeah, that's all coming back to me.
Oh, I don't remember John O'Shea getting sent off in that game.
But,
John O'Shea mentioned again on the podcast.
John O'Shea, bingo.
John O'Shea is the new player with whom I no longer mention.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get a sting of John O'Shea put on there. Yeah.
O'Shea the flap!
I might get a call from a team of John O'Shea's podcast and say, Oi, excuse me.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
There is one thing about going into a big city and going and seeing a big club. But I think some of the more interesting experiences that I've had is going to see clubs that are more suburban or small town clubs. You mentioned Aachen. That was a really interesting experience just coming out of Aachen station, because you have to walk across town to get there, and Aachen is right on the border of, well, it's right on the corners of so many different countries, isn't it, really?
Indeed, yeah.
And you see a lot of cars from different countries there, a lot of Dutch number plates and Belgian number plates there. but it's lovely, quaint German town. It's the sort of like German town that you your imagination to. It says this is what a German town looks like.
It's a bit chocolate boxy. Yeah. I mean, it's got two parts of it. It's the ancient town is surprisingly unbombed, but it's because the cathedral at Aachen is massive. Obviously, Aachen, as all good European historians know, used to be the capital of Charlemagne and has a massive cathedral, which obviously was being used by the Allied bombers, as indeed all cathedrals were, point of reference. That's why they didn't bomb them, because it was naughty. It was because they were handy targets. And so consequently, it kept...
Mm.
A lot of the surrounding area is still largely intact, and to a lesser extent that's the case with Cologne as well.
Mm.
But there is also another side of Aachen, which is all the big new build, where it looks a little bit more like Croydon or Dortmund. But the cathedral kind of just arrived, I remember. I remember walking around this fairly narrow lane.
Yeah.
And you know, people often say this about football stadia, don't they? Old football stadia that are embedded in their communities. Is that you walk around these kind of like, you know, residential streets, and then suddenly, boom, there's this football stadium.
Mm.
It was a bit like that, only it was a cathedral. as it happened, the Tivoli Stadium was a little bit further out, but we had to ask directions, which is brave of us, because, you know, English, you know, hopeless. Yeah. And a very polite German gentleman showed us where the Tivoli Stadium and it was there as well, which makes him a better man than me.
I think some of the best directions I ever got were when we were in Dortmund once and we asked for directions, and I asked this middle-aged woman, I said, which way do we go to get up to Dortmund's ground? And she said, it is north, just follow your shadow.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was right.
And she was right. All we had to do was follow our shadow, and that was it.
Follow your shadow.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
That's good, isn't it? That is really good, isn't it?
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Real poetry.
I know, exactly. Imagine doing that in a second language, eh?
Yes. Bastards.
She's probably from Manchester.
She probably was.
Affecting
probably
a German
was.
Accent.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Slapping on a thick Dortmunder accent. Yeah.
Still, better human being than me, because she gave us the right directions.
Yes. Yeah. We also went to see, and that's it, Sweden are through. Italy fails to score. Another game, another goalless draw.
But Italy out.
Italy out. That's the most important thing.
That sound you hear, listeners, is the sound. Well, you'll know this sound, listeners, because you'll have already listened to it. It's the sound of the football earth shaking.
Yes.
Italy not in a World Cup.
Yeah, that is big news.
Hmm.
That is big news.
It is big news.
Yeah.
That's the biggest...
They won't be in our pots next week.
They won't be.
No.
That's going to be weird, isn't it? Because next week, listeners, you know what's coming up, don't you?
Oh, yes.
it's our fifth fake draw.
Nice.
We've been doing these since 2010. Well, the 2010 World Cup, so 2009, just after we started, really.
Mm.
Now, Jan, you have to promise me. Right, you have to promise me now.
Okay.
Don't get carried away.
Okay. Yeah.
Not real.
Okay. Leave your leave calendar behind, okay?
It's not real.
Don't now go. I can book holiday online. I can do it from my phone,
Don't go phoning up that nice lady from Trivago thinking that it's going to be her. I'm going off to Russia, I'm going to these dates because this is where these games are happening, because it's not going to happen.
No.
It ain't going to happen. No, it's just a fake one, but we like to do it just so that you know what the pitfalls and pratfalls that could turn up during the actual draw itself. It is shenanigan laden, this draw.
It's complicated, isn't it?
When we go through it, you're going to go, at some point.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And that's going to be along with you next week, so something to look forward to. But obviously, like, you'll be coming back, like, going on about, like, foreign travel and
gushing.
Courtesy.
Gushing with Berlin enthusiasm.
Yes, and then you'll be able to bore people with your own.
Yes,
like we have today.
Like we just have today. Yeah, really sorry about that. It wasn't my idea.
But hey, listeners, if you've got some amusing stories that you can tell about coming to England and watching football, that would be quite great.
Keep them to yourself. Sorry, no, by all means.
Yeah. Facebook.com/sound of football.
Yes.
Do your sound of football. I came to South London to watch a game of football and I was lost. And I asked a gentleman, he was fairly drunk, to direct me to Selhurst
funny
Park.
Looking gentleman with blonde hair.
And I woke up in a depot on a tram.
He didn't want to know where Selhurst Park is, he wants to know where Crystal Palace Station was.
Yes, that old chestnut.
I sent him the wrong way. Anyway. It was the early 90s, and you know, you could do that in the
early
90s.
You were allowed to do that,
yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure he had a lovely day because he probably went and found all the dinosaurs at Crystal Palace Park.
Yes.
Right, the weekend box set. I've already said I'm going to put in Hertha versus Gladbach. I think that's going to be there on Saturday evening. I might have to watch that. I don't know. I may not be in the mood for football because it's the North London Derby this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Saturday evening, I've got a real dilemma.
Yeah.
Because I've got Napoli versus Milan, or I've got Atletico versus Real.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the pick, but obviously I'm not the one writing it.
Yeah.
But if it was me, that would be the pick. There's also, earlier in the day, slightly earlier, joining match in progress, in fairness, but there is the Rome derby as well, which looks tasty. Well, whether that will make it into the box set or not, I'm not sure, because it's not the full game.
Yeah.
Newcastle v Man U as well. Crackers. It is, I have to say, I mean, a lot of it is because, you know, all the goals that haven't been scored over the last 10, 11 hours now. I am looking forward to club football coming back.
Yeah.
I don't usually like to be that guy who goes, international break, boo. But this has been a shit break.
This has been a terrible, terrible, terrible. And we got, oh God, and England are playing Brazil next week.
England are playing tomorrow.
Oh, God.
England are playing Brazil tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm going to a heavy metal concert tomorrow. So
yeah.
Good for you.
It's my wife's birthday.
There you go.
Brilliant.
Jan. Have a great time.
Thank you. Mate, have a great time.
Thank
in Berlin. Go and see the Soviet War Memorial. I think you're really
Soviet War Memorial is... I don't know why we're laughing about War Memorial. It's terribly serious. However, it's an amazing War Memorial.
Yes. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Dalton, and from Terry Fenton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
We'll actually talk about the playoffs.
Yes.
Now that we're ticking up to 9 hours without a goal.
No, without a goal. Not a good advert.
No.